the truth about authors and books and book reviewers. As a book reviewer, it's hard not to cheat. Some publisher or hopeful author sends me a package of material, including a book, and hopes that something within that package will inspire me to write a review. Actually, that's not quite true. Said publisher or author hopes that I'll write a favorable review, something that will inspire readers to rush out and purchase the book. That's not quite true either. Often, said publisher or author wants me to say something that makes people, whether or not they are readers, rush out and purchase the book. That too may not be the whole truth and nothing but. Said publisher and author would be happy, mostly, if the book became a million seller, even if nobody read it. Non-readers often buy books to give to people who don't read them. Nothing sadder than a stack of unread books. This is nothing new. In my rare book emporium, I have lots of century-old books that have never been read. The proof is irrefutable. The unread volumes are full of uncut pages, pages that the publisher has failed to trim so that the book could be fully opened. These unread books are a joy to read, by the way, because it's fun to make a bone letter opener open and slit each book page as the book is read. It's a nice romantic notion, the notion that this book's author and book and the author's book lay there for a century, docile, before anybody took the trouble to open it, and I am the first to read it. Anyhow, as I say, it's hard to refrain from cheating when I receive a book to review. First of all, it may come into my hands because my editor has heard great things about it, or because the author has been annoyingly persistent. This often works, fellow authors, and I feel I have to review it just to be freed of this person, or the book may be by someone the literary world has deemed godlike, the writer who is good. Therefore, everything written by said writer has to be good, and don't you, the reviewer, be the only one to think differently. And so on. There are other factors that can influence the unwary reviewer. If you're in a hurry, you're tempted to skim the book, or just read the jacket, or the blurbs, or the extensive synopses accompanying the book. Truth is, these synopses are designed to help the lazy reviewer get the job done, or to make sure the reviewer doesn't miss the point of the book. Heaven forfend, the reviewer should find great meaning in the book that nobody else, including the author, has found. So, the reviewer has choices. Read the book cover to cover without looking at the cover or the jacket or other reviews or synopses or blurbs, without regard to reputation and track record and age and gender and background. This is almost impossible to do. So, most reviewers don't do it. But it can be done, fellow reviewer, just in case you are tempted to try it. Try walking blindfolded up to a table of books to be reviewed. Pick the first one your hand touches. Have someone remove the jacket, tape over the title and author information. Then, for once in your life, read a book about which you have no preconceived notions. What do you think would happen? There are all kinds of possibilities. You might pan a book everybody else loves. Your social life will be diminished. You might make inappropriate assumptions about the author. Female, male, old, young, experience, unknown. You might mistake fiction for autobiography. You might lose a friend. Yipes! I just trashed a book written by someone whose company I cherish. Or, for once in your career, you just might write a review of great integrity, freshness, insight, and importance. You might start a trend. Probably not